right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everybody, from wherever you're joining us from. Welcome to a very special episode of All Things Basketball. And I know you're wondering, who's this? Yes, I'm not GD, your regular host. But today is a very special episode. And we are at episode number 200. Oh, I should have brought my drums or a horn. I'm not used to being at 200 yet, so work with me. So no, but we got acting champagne right here. So it's called acting champagne. So yeah.
Drinks up
to that. So yeah, we got some people on, let's just say, All Things Time. So they'll be here too.
Yes. But
yeah, you know who you are. And, so I am the intro host, Raphael Harry, and I'm the host of White Label American Podcast, for those who do not know. And I'm honored to be the person introducing our esteemed host of All Things Basketball. And I just want to say congratulations to my brother and say how proud I am of you getting this far. And when you get to 400 episode, I'll be here again to announce and do the intro and hand over the mic to you. And then you introduce our other guests on the podcast. And then when our extra guests who are on All Teams Time show up, we will, I guess I might jump in again and introduce them, you know. But they'll be here. Mm-hmm. They're flying, you know, special flights. Maybe it's not Spirit Airlines. They're not sponsoring this podcast.
So watch out. That's Ocho's airline.
Okay. Yeah. He got his sponsor. You know, he got money. We accept gold coins, gold bars, we'll take silver too. But yeah, congratulations again. And let's jump into it. Congratulations, my brother. So yes. I hand over the mic to our official and esteemed host.
Thank you, my brother. And welcome, my peeps. This is episode 200 for the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. I'm here in studio. Shout out to Raphael Harry for allowing me to be here. I definitely appreciate that, brother. So, and also, I got my buddy of, I don't even want to count the years, but it's been over 40 years I've been running with this cat right here. And that's my, and you hear me talk about him on the show all the time. My boy D is here. So
thank you for having me. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Anytime you hear me talk about me and my boy D was talking about this, that's the person. So yeah. So let's get right into it. Let's not delay. Let's start with, we'll do college basketball first. Here's a rundown. We'll recap the men's and the women's finals. We'll recap that. And then from there, I got a few more comments in terms of Caitlin Clark. I'll touch that. I'll do the NBA draft right quick, and then we'll talk about the NBA playoff scenarios. So that's the way it'll go down for today. So let's get right into it. UConn on Monday, they beat Purdue 75-60. And in doing that, Coach Dan Hurley and the Huskies, back-to-back championships. The first time that has happened since 2006-2007. And that was done by the Florida Gators, coached by Billy Donovan. Remember that team with Joakim Noah and those guys. So it's we come up on that. And they're the eighth school to have back-to-back championships. And, oh, by the way, UConn is 6-0 when it comes to final games. So pretty impressive stuff.
So you don't want to face UConn in the final.
You don't want to. That's an automatic L. Definitely. So as far as UConn, Tristan Newton, he had 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Stephon Castle, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Donovan Clingdon, their center. And he has an interesting story, guys. when he wears his number 32, it's in honor of his mom, who played at his mom, Stacy, who played at Maine, and they made the NCAA tournament three times back in the day. So definitely shout out to him for giving honor to his mom. In that game, he had 11 points and 5 rebounds, and their star player, Cam Spencer, with 11 points and 8 rebounds. For Purdue, of course, you have to talk about Zach Edey. 37 points for him, 10 rebounds and 2 blocks. And when you talk about Zach Edey, you know, a lot of people are talking about the draft coming up and where he'll be picked and so forth. And if this was the 80s and the 90s, I would say he would definitely be amongst the top 3 picks. But this is a different NBA now. They want their big men to be able to go out and shoot the 3, and he just doesn't have that. And I don't know. His game reminds me of when I was watching. Remember Brian Reeves for the Vancouver?
You're talking about the legendary Big Country.
Big Country, yes. That's who his game reminds me of. You know, not nimble of foot, but effective. And that's who he reminds me of.
Oh, Big Country also used to give Shaq a problem.
He gave Shaq the business. And anytime you hear Shaq talk about the tough centers he faced, he'll mention Brian Reeves. So he's kind of a throwback.
Yeah, didn't we see Big Country play at the Garden? Yeah, we did see Big Country play at the Garden.
Sure we did. Yeah. Sure we did, yeah.
Because he was actually Big Country.
Yes, he was. He definitely was. So that's who he reminds me of. And in this draft, I don't even know who's amongst the lottery picks as far as that goes. But Zach Edey, I guess he'll be a lottery pick. I don't even know. So we'll see what happens with him. And then another question I have, what's up with him not being able to get this NIL money because he's Canadian? I think NCAA got to fix that.
It's only for American-born players.
But,
really?
Yeah. Yep.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. I think he could get some money off the jerseys sales.
Yeah, that's only money he makes off jersey sales.
But beyond that, he doesn't get anything else, like sponsorships or anything like that.
I learned something new. This money.
They got to fix that. But yeah, so Zach Edey, their star player there, balled out. Although some people say it was a quiet 37 points. I don't know how you score 37 points quietly, but that's another story. And then Brayden Smith, 12 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. So it was a good game. But with UConn, with them, you know, they'll let them hang. They'll let a team hang with them. And then once they go on those runs, forget about it. It's game over. And that's the way it shook out. So shout out to UConn Huskies for getting it done. Dan Hurley, once again, doing his thing over there. I think he's got this whole thing figured out as far as how to manage the transfer portal and all the NIL stuff. I think he's really at the top of his game and when it comes to that. So, and then they were trying to get him to commit to saying, should he consider Kentucky? He said, hey, ask my wife. So, smart man.
A smart man from Jersey City.
He knows. Happy wife, happy life.
So. That's right.
He's not going over there. He's the king. He's the king of Connecticut, so he's good to go. So, basically that ties a bow on that. And then Purdue being in the finals, it was their first time since 1969. I was actually alive. Not to tell my age or anything, but I was alive for it. Just put it that way. And that's when they faced the mighty UCLA with John Wooden and, of course, Luau Cinder and that crew. So shout out to Purdue for making it that far. So, all right. So we'll just tie a bow on that. So that's the men's. Let's talk about the women. The women was played Sunday afternoon, and it was kind of what the NCAA was hoping for, South Carolina versus Iowa. Yeah. Iowa Hawkeyes, of course, with Caitlin Clark. I'll talk about her in a minute. So we have the game there. I watched that as well as I watched the men. And it was a good game. It was competitive up until about the first quarter or so. And the thing was, Caitlin Clark, after one quarter, 18 points. So it was, Dawn was like, you know what? I got to do something different here. And Raven Johnson raised the hand and said, let me take the assignment. And after that, it was kind of lights out for Caitlin after that.
Yeah, didn't she just finish with 12 points?
Yeah, 12 points on 5 of 20 shooting.
That's the defense wins championships.
Hello. And that's a saying that the late Pat Summers always said, offense gets you the people, but defense wins you the championships. So South Carolina prevails 87-75. They are the 10th team to go undefeated. And the last one was UConn Huskies, the Lady Huskies, back in 2015 and 16. That was a team led by, of course, Stewie, Breonna Stewart. She was actually, that was actually her second time going undefeated, along with Mariah Jefferson was on that team, Morgan Tuck, a freshman named Nafisha Collier, who's balling out in the WNBA. So you had that crew there. But Dawn Staley, three-time champion, she reaches the likes of the late Pat Summitt, of course. She has 8. Gino Auriemma with 11. And then Kim Mulkey, last year, she got her 4th, leading LSU to that championship. And in that game, and Dawn Staley knows how to spread the wealth there, 9 players played 14 minutes or more for her. And that's kind of how you have to do it, you know? You have to have a deep bench because, remember, you play the, like, the one game one day, and then 2 days later you got to come back. So that's puts a lot of pressure on your starting 5. So you have to have a bench, guys.
But Dawn Staley had a bench like that all year. And she, yes, that's the way, that's one thing she recruits. Yes. She tells people, you're not going to get 35 minutes here. You're not going to be the, you're probably not going to be the superstar. But yeah, we have a system here. You're going to play.
Yes.
You're going to play, and you're going to play defense.
Yes. And players want to come into that situation. A player like Tihana Pau-Pau, she came from Oregon and over to South Carolina, and she was willing to sacrifice her game, and plus they needed the outside shooting anyway, and she was glad to do it. So when you have players that buy in, and also, too, she plays her freshman, and I think that's what hurt Kim Mulkey. She didn't play her freshman. In fact, you got one of them going into the transfer portal now, Janae Kent. But yeah, you have to play these freshmen. And then sometimes on the big stage, you never know. And look at what Tessa Johnson did. 19 points on 7 of 11 shooting. And she was pretty good from 3, very good from 3, and 4 rebounds. And of course, their anchor, Camilla Cardoza, 15 points for her, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks. She's going to be something else on the next level. I'll talk about her when I talk about WNBA draft. And then Raven Johnson, she only had the 3 points. Everybody will say, oh, she shot 1 of 11. She did the most important thing that Dawn Staley could have wanted. Oh. She put the clamps on Caitlin Clark, and that's all you can ask of her.
Yeah. She added a redemption tour after last year. After last year, she was basically embarrassed because Caitlin turned the back on and said, telling her to shoot, she didn't shoot.
Yes.
She waved at her, and she didn't shoot.
Yes.
But Raven stepped up and was one of the true leaders of South Carolina.
Yes, she did. The 3 points, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, one in which she ripped Caitlin Clark twice, and then 2 blocks as well. So she definitely did her thing in that regard. And then on the Iowa side, we talk about Caitlin Clark, 30 points, 10 of 28 shooting. And then, of course, I mentioned the 5 of 20 that she had from the second quarter on because of the tough defense that Raven Johnson played. And then also Kate Martin, 16 points, 5 rebounds, and Hannah Stolke, who had a monster game in the Final 4, only 11 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 block shots. And as I begin to talk about Caitlin Clark, we have a guest up in here.
All right. Hey, going we have the person who was on All Time Time. he had a jump through a parachute.
The latest of times.
You know, yes. Parachute landed right on top of the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
The New York trains are, you know, they messed up right now.
So. Yeah, I was on the phone with Eric Adams. Like, let my boy in.
Yo, no two trains are going to Manhattan at all.
Wow.
Like, at all. Like, I had to take the Metro North over here and then take the 4 train all the way here.
Wow. So, wow. Okay.
But we here.
Yes.
For you.
Let me introduce you in. Ty the Pod Guy. He's part of my network, Black Podcasters Association. He has a podcast where he covers sports and wrestling.
I did. We paused it for a minute just to get the rebranding on foot. But I'm not gonna lie, I do miss covering the sports topics on a regular basis. I think just pausing it for a minute and still being in more into the news, into the narratives and everything, I'm like, oh, I'm itching to bring it back. So I'm looking at how I can do it in a very simple way, not putting too much on myself, but I do miss the sports show.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Glad to have you aboard. And we was just talking about South Carolina beating Iowa on Sunday in the ladies finals. And actually, I want to get to a topic now. What is the fine line between critique and straight hating? Ooh. And I don't know if you guys heard Diana Taurasi. She made comments to Scott Van Pelt, and she was talking about, and this is the thing that a lot of people, they like to run away with. She was talking about all of the rookies, not just Caitlin Clark. She was talking about all of the rookies, how they're going to have this reality check that coming into the league with grown ladies, you know, got mortgages. Some of them have kids. So, you know, you're going to be facing these ladies here who's not going to just give up their spot. So with that said, what is the fine line between critique and straight hating? I'm at a loss because I was listening to Nightcap with Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson. And they would talk about it, like somebody of Taurasi's caliber, you know, or her resume, she should be able to give honest critique.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the way I see it. Yeah. But a lot of people call it hate. Oh, you know, they're not making enough money. Caitlin's drawing all this crowd. Right. Why not just welcome her in? And I don't know if you guys remember when LeBron came in the league?
That was going to be my example.
His own teammates was hating on him. What are we doing here?
Wasn't the coach hating on him too?
Yes. He's on
Paul Silas. God rest his soul, but he was hating on him. He was hating on him. He was giving him a hard time.
And even today, Victor Wembanyama, when he was coming into the league.
Yep.
They were hating on him. So what are we even talking about here?
I was hating on him because it was like, that's I was hating on him. I was like a tall Frenchman. Like, I'm supposed to be intimidated by him. Like, who did you play?
Yeah, but the boy got skills.
He has skills. Now he proved he has skills.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it even goes beyond basketball. I think in every sport you see when there's a young prodigy that pops up on the scene, and they're coming into the professional league, veterans aren't just supposed to, you know, there's a difference between veterans welcoming them in and veterans of telling you, hey, we're gonna still treat you like a pro. You're coming to face the pros now. We're gonna welcome you as a pro now, and it's gonna be different from you dominating kids. And some will use welcoming language. Mm-hmm. Some will use it's gonna get real now.
Yeah,
right. No, you're right.
Some, the way they say it's gonna get real is a language of I got bills to pay. So I ain't looking at you like you're 16 or you're 15 or 17 or 18. I got bills to pay. So I'm gonna take you down if I have to take you down.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say, I don't give a damn about you. So I'm gonna be, I don't care if you're on my team. we're going to fight for a spot. And I guess it's this age of social media.
Yes, that too.
Some just feel like, everything is, you didn't throw roses at me. Right, so right. You hate me. Not everything is hate.
Yes.
Some people just talk in, for a better way, lack of a better way of saying it, it's just real.
Yeah.
That's it. No filter to their way of talking. Fine. I'd rather take that than somebody coming and say, I'll give you a hug. And then you hate, you're stabbing me in the back. Which do you prefer? So, I'm a big soccer fan. We had Freddie Adu how many years ago? He was supposed to be America's biggest star at 16, got the largest contract American player ever had at one at that point in time. That guy never matured to anything, and many people, I think it was that unnecessary praise. He was lifted above everybody, and I bet you if you go back and look, a lot of his teammates hated him. Many people didn't want him to excel, but everybody was just throwing roses at him. He's gonna be the next big thing, and then as soon as he stepped to Europe, people were like, what the hell is this? You're coming from America? They don't respect Americans in Europe. You have the Africans who have to work 10 times harder. They're going to look at you like, you know what I had to do to get here? And then you just came from America. You're already being paid more than me. Man, I will kick you once I see you. And he never made it.
He
never made it. And it was so sad to see. But now I think many people learn from that. And you see more Americans doing better. But he's now a story nobody talks about. It's like a failure. So you see it in different sports. And
different sports.
Caitlin, I'm a fan of Caitlin because she's good for the women's basketball. I never followed women's basketball, to be honest. But I've seen the girl, she takes on the challenges. She's doing it. Whether she wins or loses, she's dropping buckets. And I'm like, you know what? This is good, actually, because now I'm paying attention.
Right. Yes.
So
for sure,
we need more like this. And I think now I'm going to be following WNBA.
Yes, yeah. Well, in fact, we'll be at the draft come Monday.
Oh, yeah.
So, nice. But yeah, so I just think there's an indoctrination that has to happen with the rookies.
Yes.
And it's just a natural process. So for everybody that's talking about hate, calm down. Calm down, all right? So with that, we'll just leave that right there and talk briefly about the WNBA draft coming up, which is on Monday. And we'll talk about the first five picks. Of course, Indiana will be first, and they'll take Caitlin Clark, obviously so. So it'll be a nice dynamic there with her and Aaliyah Boston there, a nice inside-outside game. So that'll be nice. Number two, the L.A. Sparks. I think they're going to throw a curveball here. And this is who I think they should take, Rekia Jackson from Tennessee. She's a player with a complete offense. She can play both ways. I think that would be the pick. This way you kind of lay back and see. I know everybody says Cameron Brink, but I think even Chicago will bypass Cameron Brink.
Overrated.
They'll take.
Why do you say she's overrated?
She's overrated. I saw about five games of Stanford this year, and she's like, okay, what makes her so great?
What makes her top five?
Yeah, because when I saw the game in NCAA, I'm sitting just like, okay, she's not the best player on this team, but she's the All-American. It's like, and I saw in other games early in the season, she played better, but this is the biggest stage. You got to step up.
Right.
And she did not step up. Because I was telling him, I was like, yo, she's overrated.
Yeah. So that's why I say take Rekia Jackson. This way you have, because remember, you now don't have Nneka Nwumike. So that was a player there who could ball, you know.
Right.
She could put up the points from the post position. So you need somebody to come in and step in like that. So I say take Rekia Jackson. This way, Chicago, again, I don't think Chicago's taking Cameron Brink. I think their eyes are on Carmilla Cardoza, and rightfully so.
Yes.
And this way, the Sparks come back. Okay, we'll take Cameron Brink. She's the California girl. We'll take her. I hear some people saying that they'll take Cameron Brink and Angel Reese. I don't know about that, but I think that's pie in the sky.
You said Chicago was?
No, the L.A. Sparks.
Now, that has been talked about when it comes to Angel Reese and the Sparks now.
Yeah. It has been talked about because, she should be in a big market. But I tell you where I think she's going to go. I think she's going to go back home. Washington Mystics. at six.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Washington Mystics pick. At six.
That would be a great. That'd I would be, that. Yeah, I would not be mad at that.
Yeah, I think that's the spot. I think Washington is kind of playing it down to see mm-hmm. what happens, but I think their eyes are on Angel Reese because you got to bring people into that you stadium.
Yeah.
Remember Elena Deladon, she's going to sit out this year. So you're going to need some star power. Yeah. So she would be perfect. Her and Shakira Austin, I think that'd be a nice front court over there. So that's my theory there.
There'll be people in the seats.
You got to get people in the seats. You do.
And then I'll skip down to the New York Liberty because that's a team I root for and care about. I think they'll throw a curveball here. I think they should go with Elizabeth Keatley for the Virginia Tech. Hmm. She's going to be out for the year, but she's a 22-8 girl. She puts up 22 points, 8 rebounds. You don't need her because you already got Breonna Stewart.
Right.
You already got Jonquel Jones.
Right.
So you let her sit out the year, rehab, and then you bring her back the following year. That's the way I would do it, but hey, who am I to say?
So you were just saying is you just rehab the player for the year and make sure she's ready for next year.
Yes.
And that young lady can ball.
Yeah.
She definitely can ball.
Yeah. 22-8 is a walking bucket.
Yeah, she definitely can ball.
Right. It's a
walking bucket.
And because everybody's saying she probably won't go first round, but I think the Liberty, they're loaded. So they can afford to have a player sit out for the year. So why not be one of the best players in the country? Mm-hmm. You know? Yes.
Championship ready, Lord.
Oh, yeah. And then my kind of sleeper pick for them is Nika Moll for UConn.
UConn, yeah.
The one who initially shut down Caitlin.
Yeah.
That's my sleeper pick for them. But maybe, hey, she might be there in the second round. We'll see. Because the guards got killed by the Aces in that finals.
Oh, you talking about the old lady gang?
Yes. Well, Sabrina's not old, but she's just her defense isn't there.
No, Sabrina is. She couldn't play those two ladies. She could not play. She could not guard
Plum,
them.
Plum. When you talk about Plum, you talk about Chelsea Gray.
The old lady gang.
Is Candace Parker coming back this year?
Yes.
She says she's coming back.
No. I'm sorry, not old no. But I love CP, man. I hope it's her last.
I hope it's her last too.
I really do.
Yeah.
I don't want to see no more serious injuries.
Yeah.
Anything like that. Yeah. She is a phenomenal talent. Has been.
Oh yeah. I've been following her since her days with Tennessee.
She's a walking bucket.
Yes.
Still a walking bucket. I just don't want her to get injured too, you know.
I know.
That's just my fear.
I know.
That's it. Love you, CP.
Yep. So we'll see what happens with the draft. So let's leave that right there. Let's talk NBA playoff scenario while we have some time left. And right now, here's what we know. Boston's the number one overall. We know that.
Yes.
But they could play one of seven teams. Either Cleveland, Orlando, Indiana, Philly, Miami, Chicago, Atlanta. So we don't even know who they're going to
play.
When
you put it like that, you're right. When you put it like that, you're right.
But nobody wants to face Boston.
Nobody.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They just set a record of being the first team.
I agree.
Without free throws.
Yeah, that game the other night. The first 10 years, they didn't have a free throw.
Wow. Because they're shooting all those threes. But that's a story for another day. Then we know that Chicago will face Atlanta in that 9-10 game in the play-in. So we know that.
Chicago's
in the play-in.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which actually, I'll talk about that in a minute because that affects my Knicks. And then we know for certain in the West that Dallas will play the Clippers in that 4-5. The only thing is home court. That's still up for grabs, and that can be decided on Sunday tomorrow.
If the Clippers get home court, I'm going with the Clippers in seven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's but it's going to be a close set. Yeah. It's not going to be a. Skate type seven. It's going to be a close down to the wire seven because Kyrie can still ball.
Yeah, and Luka Kyrie is still and that Luka man.
Combination. Yeah, they figured it out.
Yes.
In these like 20 games, these last 20 games, they figure something out and it's meshing and that team is scary.
Yeah, they are.
That's scary.
That's where I'm coming from. Two of them playing together.
Did y'all see him hit the three with the layup? The layup three? What? Who is this man? What are we talking about? Gosh. Oh my God. They're scary.
The key to the whole series is
Kawhi
comes back in place.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's why I said Clippers in seven, because that part. If Kawhi comes back,
you need Kawhi.
You need him.
Isn't his knee made of glass?
Don't do that.
Basically, this was the most games he played since he was San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. In a while, yes. That's true.
I mean, that always has to be. It's not. That's my point. He's not reliable. You can't really bank on him.
Well, in the playoffs,
to a degree, yes.
Yeah, it's still a factor.
The person you can't bank on is James Harden.
I agree with you. I take it back. After you said that, now my pick is coming. Like, okay, maybe I should go with the Mavericks.
I stay with that
because James Harden has not showed.
Kyrie has been more reliable this year. There are too many out of court factors in this playoff.
Yes,
between these two teams, but. Right now, Dallas looks more reliable because Kyrie has stayed focusing on basketball.
Saying James Harden.
I'm sticking.
Was the one that said, okay, wait, because I got to pause that pick now.
Yeah.
Hold on.
But then you think about James Harden to step his game up since he had issues with Kyrie.
Now, that's...
Are you working for Vegas?
It's not.
No, but Vegas is loving what you're doing right now.
But he's making sense, though. It makes sense. You didn't get it done in Philly.
Yeah.
You couldn't get it done here in Brooklyn, right? You couldn't get you barely got it done in Houston.
Yeah,
barely. Even with CP, y'all went to the Western Conference Finals. Y'all had a moment where y'all could have took it, literally won it, and took it to the finals. You did not do that. You were James Harden in Houston, and you was all right here in Brooklyn. Yeah. Now you're over in Philly. You didn't do. You didn't show up.
You had your.
Now you're here again in the playoffs, as y'all all said eloquently. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to show up, or there is no more big contracts, my dog.
Yep.
There's no more big contracts. Don't ask for no more super maxes. Don't ask for more. I need 220 million. Nope. Those are done. If you do not show up, if the Clippers do not go to at least the Western Conference. At somewhat your expense, you coming out with 20, 25, something to that nature, don't ask for no more money.
Don't
ask for no more money.
The well is dry.
You already said you could play in China.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then let me leave room for my Knicks, who are one game from 50 wins. Who would have thunk that?
Hey, man.
Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals, bro.
Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Hey, I'm ready to jump off that bridge, man.
I'm ready too. Jalen Brunson, I have been a believer, but I'm a true believer, brother.
I have to rep my guy. Yes, but with a win against Chicago, then remember what I just said about Chicago. They locked up everything, so they're good. They can lay back in that last game. So this helps the Knicks. So Knicks get that win 1 o'clock tomorrow. And then Milwaukee, they have to go to Orlando. Orlando, a very improved team this year. Shout out to Jamal Mosley over there.
Where's Orlando seeding right now?
Right now they are, I want to say, fifth.
Wow. Shout out to Orlando.
Fifth. Orlando. Yeah. So right now a lot can be had tomorrow. But if Orlando beats Milwaukee right now, remember, no Giannis because of the calf strain.
And
then Dame, he just sat out. So who knows if they keep him out of that last game. That is up for grabs for the Knicks, the number two spot. So,
oh, you number what you think? So what you're saying in simpler terms, Milwaukee is like, Milwaukee will be playing Indiana
for the 3-6 spot, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Instead of instead of
potentially Knicks and Philly,
which is a possibility,
right?
Yeah, but again, all that if the, let's say the Knicks even lose,
okay,
the lowest they can fall is 5 right now,
okay,
which you don't want to do anyway, so. But I like their chances because of that Chicago game. Chicago, nothing to lose. So they can play it loosey-goosey. Take a term from our guy, Clyde Frazier. But, yeah, they can play it loosey-goosey. And Knicks get that win, 50 wins, which I love to see them get 50 wins. But get that 2 spot. That's huge because, remember, you avoid Boston until that conference finals. So. There's that. But you know, shout out to my Knicks, man. They're getting it done this year. And you know, Coach of the Year, there's a lot of candidates. Why not Tom Thibodeau for what he's going through? Randall.
Gee, I don't disagree, but we gotta pump the brakes on it a little
bit.
That's why I'm laughing.
Because I got 3 guys that I got ahead of him.
Right.
The coach with the Thunder,
yep.
Daigneault.
Chris
Finch with Minnesota. And that's the one I just mentioned. Jamal Mosley with Orlando.
You have a better chance to coach the OKC coach.
Yeah, I think the OKC coach will probably
because I think the whole lineup is everybody's under 27.
Yes. He's doing it with strictly young. Well, look at Mosley, too. His lineup is pretty young.
Yeah, but OKC is in a better conference. Yeah,
they're in a better conference and in a better spot. I agree. And then on the low, Willie Green, what he's doing with the Pelicans is flying under the radar.
Because Zion decided
Zion's
to
leave the
How long have we been asking
him?
Come on now, y'all. How long have we been asking my mans to do that?
Yes.
To just take a few. I know no.
He's been healthy. He seemed like he's watching
his league. I know they feeding you well.
He ain't going to put feeding New Orleans in them. You know? Good.
Let's not pull a Stephen A. and fat shame.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I love me some Zion. His parents named him Zion, and then you put him in New Orleans. Y'all set him up.
Come on, y'all set him up. As a former big boy and still big boy at heart, I understand. You don't set me up for failure like that. You set me up to win.
That's right.
You got to set me up to win.
That's right.
It took a minute. Now you done set me up to win.
Big boys need representation.
Come on, man. Charles and them said it.
All for D.I.
That's a good eating town.
Yeah.
Got every good eating town.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
The only solution is to take that team out of New Orleans and put it somewhere else.
But honestly, the Pelicans to me could be a sleeper.
They are. Yeah, I think
they
so.
Could be a they could so. Be a sneaker. You know, like you said, nobody's really, you know, talking about them. They're flying under the radar right now.
Yes.
And they make the playoffs. They will be a team that you got to just kind of raise your rock eyebrow to. Like,
For sure. Okay. For sure. And then, of course, Willie Green, man, he's getting it done. He's getting it done with what he has. So you got to give them credit over there. But
the man can coach.
The man can coach. And that's the bottom line there. Quickly before we wrap up. And think about this. Phoenix, Golden State, and the Lakers.
My Lord.
One of those 3 teams might not even make the playoffs.
God damn.
Oh, my God.
Don't do that to my King James.
He might not. And let's just keep this a bean.
Yeah.
If there was no play-in tournament to even discuss.
Yes.
Ooh. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
Golden
State would be a factor.
Yeah. Come on. Talk about it, G.
It would be a factor.
No. None of these 9 or 10 teams will be a factor until the play-in happened.
Yeah.
So if we think about it from, I guess you can say, a quote-unquote old-school basketball perspective, and it's not even old school, we just came into the play-in not even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The top 8 teams.
Yeah.
Yep.
Period, point blank. Top 8 teams.
Yes.
9 and 10, go home, sit down, go to your kids, have fun, go to Disneyland. You know, that's
get
it.
Ready for the
fish
draft.
It right. Then go fishing. You hang out with your boys, and that's cool. Come back for the season next season. We'll see you next season. Yeah. Top eight teams. Now we're here.
Yeah.
So it's just like we have to understand like what this plan is doing. Like
it's added a lot of juice.
Yeah.
It has. So, it made the last day of the season exciting because it's exciting right now. You got so many scenarios out there that can and take
it also,
place.
It's also the West is you've seen the changing of the guard.
Yeah. It's starting to change
it's
now.
Shifting.
Because remember, you know, LeBron is no spring chicken. Curry's getting up there as well.
Yep.
And Durant, you know, he's got the two knee surgeries. So he's on a wing and a prayer. So,
and Achilles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so,
Draymond got to punch somebody.
Oh, God. It's funny. I talked about this when he got ejected 4 minutes into the game. I'm like, come on, Draymond. Come on. You got to have more self-awareness of your team.
I mean, you've seen it on Curry's face. You've seen it written all on Curry's face. The man was in tears.
But did
like,
you catch when after the game they was going into the tunnel? First guy there was like Draymond Green. Like,
yeah. Like, ooh, you still won. Like, bro, like
I can
only imagine what was going through Curry's mind. Like, bro, I'm giving you this hug and this dap out of love because there's so
the
many
cameras
around me.
Yeah.
But we go on this room. Back in the locker room, I'ma fry you up. Like, it's not even a game.
Yes.
What is your problem? You know we need you.
We need
at
you.
This crucial time.
That's the problem. That guy should have been dealt with years
you're
back.
Right. You're right. You
know,
I don't disagree.
You know he's responsible for Jordan Poole?
I was about
he
to
gave
say
that
Jordan
guy,
Poole.
Yes.
Well, I'll say allegedly, but he gave that guy TTE. That guy never recovered from that sucker punch. That guy never been the same since that sucker punch.
You're right.
You're right.
I agree.
I agree with that, but it's also called don't run your mouth if you can't fight.
That's a great
that's
a thing.
That wasn't a fight. That wasn't a
I'm
that
not lying.
Because that punch came from nowhere.
Before you do that, let me say all things basketball with GD does not advocate violence.
Yeah. Period. These are not the views of GD, these are the views of mine.
Yeah.
But you know, it's worse when you knock out somebody and they catch the person before the person falls. So that's not a fight. And that brother woke up a different person after that. Never been able to play basketball the same again.
Oh,
and I was like,
what's going on in Washington?
They should have let that guy, they should have let Draymond go. And just to keep encouraging him. He's not going to change.
But why
you can't
would they
teach,
do that?
You can't teach your grandmother how to eat boiled eggs. that's what they've been trying to do. That's an African proverb.
I'm definitely going to take that one.
Grandmother how to eat boiled eggs.
Like,
too late.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, too late.
I agree with you. And okay. No, Jordan Poole should not have probably been running his mouth. Because more than likely, that is what you're doing. You're young. You just won a championship. You just got paid.
Yes.
More, because Draymond didn't get his contract
yet,
at the time.
His contract yet.
So you just got paid this, 2 year, 100 mil?
Four years,
100
mil.
So you spending. I'm championship and I help my team. I'm killing it.
Yeah.
All right. New season, new everything. Wah, 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 wah. You feeling yourself a little too much.
That's what it was.
Right?
That's what it was.
I'm not taking away from what Jordan Poole did or didn't do. He probably aggravated the situation. However, Draymond in every situation escalates the situation to a degree where it does not need to be. Bro, he pushed you and he didn't even push you hard. He did a light shove. You mollywopped this man and then you caught him. Like, I didn't mean to do it, bro. I'm sorry. No, it's too late. It's okay, bro.
But that's where the team, that was the time you should have disciplined him.
The organization.
The organization rewarded him.
But, the organization's not going to do that. The organization's not going to do nothing.
Like,
because
you're
making the organization a lot of money. You have been for the last,
eight years?
Almost decade
now?
Yeah, I get that.
You're cemented in
in Golden State Warriors history. Now that doesn't I don't agree with y'all in saying like
they wouldn't have changed anything if they let if they gave him the proper punishment then, because he's already part of the legacy.
And okay, you have to take example for your young players that this kind of behavior is not condoned.
Yes, you also said example, don't piss off somebody you can't beat up.
That's a fact. Well, teammates, that will not change. That teammates going to fight no matter what.
Oh, yeah, that's
going to fight. But he's the veteran because he got his own show. He talking about respect and all that stuff. Like this, you're the vet. You were supposed to show that respect then, and you knocked the kid out. And now it's too late.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now the guy will never. I don't know. We got to call the Ghostbusters to find his ghost and put it back. Now, because if they can find the guy's ghost, whatever it went, I don't know. But
can I ask this question? When it comes to the play-in, and it comes to those three teams you said, Phoenix, LA, and Golden State.
Yes.
Out of those three teams, who do you think has the best chances to possibly make it to the Western Conference Final? Possibly. I don't give them the chance to go to the finals because going over Denver, it's not happening.
That's going
to
be hard.
That's going to be a very tall task right now, period.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this just because I have no choice. It's the Lakers.
Yeah, me too.
I was going to say.
I'm biased. But
yeah. I was going to say. As much as I don't like the Lakers, It's the Lakers.
Yeah. LeBron guys. Yeah. I got to go Lakers.
Yes.
And it's not that I don't like LeBron. I just don't like the Lakers.
Right.
I never used to like Lakers until LeBron joined them.
My only fear is with AD and that eye.
Well, that's another glass.
That's my fear. Has that hindered him so that he can't play his game?
Did he get hit now?
Yeah, he got hit.
Oh, he got hit. Okay.
And that's another thing. He should wear goggles because a bunch of he wear goggles. I think it's the third or fourth time he got hit now.
Right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You're right there.
Yeah, he
definitely. It's not like we don't have the technology.
Yeah.
They definitely do.
And they came a long way from Kareem goggles.
In the 90s, we had.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're in 2024. It's not like.
Right.
Okay.
Oh.
Man, they need to hire me, man, some of these people.
New York.
I am expensive. Just
do you think Miami is going to make a run like they did last year?
Geez. I think they're a different team than they were last year. I mean, sure, they got Tyler Hero back, which is a help.
Mm-hmm.
They have Rozier now, which is a help. Everything rests with Jimmy Butler. Are you going to get playoff Jimmy?
Right.
That's where it all rests at.
And that's what you don't want to see. If you it's a top seed, you don't want to see Jimmy Butler decide like, okay, I really didn't play well all year.
Because that's what he do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he do.
Yeah.
I know Jimmy Butler's secret.
What's his secret?
What's the secret?
Shakira, man.
Jesus Christ.
When that playoff comes, she whispers something, you know, them Colombia Lebanese secret in his ear. That guy just.
I don't know.
Just as long as he don't come out in an emu.
That's it. It's like them Super Saiyan.
I don't know. They always scare me during this time.
That's why it goes Super Saiyan.
They are. They're scary.
Yeah.
And then remember, if Knicks get that two spot and Miami has to play whoever's in the eight spot,
mm-hmm.
provided they don't jump up to six, then, you know, they would love to get that seven spot and play the Knicks.
Jesus. I took a heat for that. I'm on a vacation and I'm on a cruise ship and watching the basketball game, and Miami fans was giving me the business.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's me and the other Knicks fan walked away from me. It's like two Knicks fans and about 50 Miami fans. They giving me the business.
Oh,
my wife walked past me. It's like, I feel for you, and walked away.
Yeah, but
they was giving me the business. I was hoping the internet connection on the ship was like, come on, just mess up.
At least y'all team made it to the playoffs. Detroit is abysmal.
Detroit, wow.
Abysmal.
Okay, we got some time, right? Your GM, Troy Weaver.
Yes.
You think he's gone?
After this season?
Yeah.
Yes.
Monty Williams stays?
Has to.
I think he stays, but I think the GM is gone.
Has to stay. Yeah. You don't pay him that much money with that contract not to after one season.
Yes.
Even though it was an abysmal season. As a Detroiter, that was terrible.
Yeah.
That was tragic.
Yeah.
to have a wonderful football season, to have a wonderful turnaround football season.
Oh, the Lions, yeah.
And on one hand, to have one sports team going on an incline, and then the other one is just, I mean, it was past decline. It was just like.
I expect them to be that bad. I knew they'd be not a playoff team.
When we had Andre Drummond, and I love Andre Drummond, when we had him, we weren't terrible.
Yeah.
We made it to the playoffs every year.
Yeah,
now,
decent.
We were exactly. We were decent. We had the seventh, eighth spot every year. Top eight. We in the playoffs. Okay. We ain't getting out the first round. Cool. No problem. But at least we making it to the playoffs. At least we winning 40 plus games. We couldn't even win 20 games, y'all.
I think they did win 20.
Well, did we win 20?
They 20 are close. I think they're close to it.
I don't know.
Last time I checked, we couldn't even crack 20. 20. We couldn't even crack that. We got Cade Cunningham. We have all of these young stars. We got
and
Monty
that's,
Williams.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, I you think you have to figure out that back.
And you're right.
That's the problem. You have all these young stars, and it's like a bunch
no
of people.
No veterans. Yeah.
A bunch of people are not. Monty Williams is a good coach.
He is.
Monty Williams is a good coach. You have a bunch of young players, but you can't have six or seven of roster people are young players.
Yeah.
You need a veteran, somebody to say like, oh, a veteran's got to know how to do something with these kids.
You need that right balance. Yeah.
And I think, going out on a limb here, but I think the Ivy kid, Jaden Ivy, I think he gets dealt. I think he gets dealt in the offseason.
Yeah.
For some reason, Monty and him didn't.
They didn't mesh.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Once you don't mesh with somebody in the NBA, it seems like these players be in your sixth year. You be the sixth year if you're still in the NBA and you be on your seventh team already.
Yeah. And then remember, too, that was supposed to be Ivy coming in that deal and not Alec Burks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be Ivy coming. So that's how, you know, they don't even want him there. He almost ended up being a Knick.
It's sick.
Yeah.
I love you, Pistons, but it's sick.
Yes, yes, yes.
Help my man.
It is, man. Yeah.
And then they're going to have a top draft pick this year coming up.
Of
and
course.
It's like,
and it's
you might as well don't draft anybody.
Over the Hornets? Another.
It's like an every year thing. Like I said, ever since Andre Drummond got, you know, left and got traded, I think our kind of just we're in the bottom tier of the pack, but we make the playoffs type of energy is just it's done. It's been done for a long time. Right. What I believed was I thought Monty Williams was at least going to come in and try to help mold these young players because I know we had a lot of young ones on the team.
Right.
And then we had a lot coming in. Right. So you have to have kind of a young minded coach like him to kind of understand these players. I get that. But to not even win 30 games, y'all, come on, bro. Like that is abysmal. But that's tragic.
It is abysmal. But some of these young players, if you can't, it's some of these young players, it's like you played a year in college ball.
Mm-hmm.
You played a year, and a bunch of these players is like.
A couple of years.
A couple of years, and it's like you sit there and it's like, okay, can these people really play?
Can they play? Yes.
And as a coach, you have to bring that out there. And a bunch of them don't like being coached hard, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because if you could coach, what's the sense of name for them?
Wiseman.
Wiseman. And it's like Golden State gave up on this kid. And it's like, was he that bad? Is he that bad? And it's like, I don't want to give up on it. The kid is, 23?
Yes.
You don't want to give up on somebody, but it's like, is he that bad?
Yeah.
That's a great point, dude.
Right.
And the problem with these one and dones, or you don't go to college at all, some of these people, you can play, but some of these coaches be sitting there like, okay, can this kid really play?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can he play defense? You got to find your niche with some of these coaches for you can be around for another 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could give you two examples right out of the Knicks, of course. Cam Reddish, he's bouncing around now. And then Kevin Knox, he's bouncing around now.
Both of them should have stayed in school.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin Knox, I'm the official person that's like, why are you leaving?
Well, I think that was more of a Calipari thing.
And, but that's a whole different story talking about.
Yeah.
Because you don't go there. You don't go. It's just like, it's great if you can go someplace and develop. But his motto is like, oh, you play well, you get an NBA contract.
Right.
But the problem with that is like, do you want the second NBA contract? The first contract is basically is decent, right. More money than we're making, but it's decent. But the next contract is real money.
Yeah.
But a bunch of these people not getting the second contract because that's what they should do with Calipari. How many of his players, his one and done's, got second contracts?
Yeah.
That's a good study to look into.
Yes, for sure.
Because
for
some
sure.
of these people are leaving. It's like you be sitting. It's like, oh, this guy was great in college. Oh, he was a great high school player.
Then
what happened in 10 years? It's like you don't see him. It's like he's playing in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, you're right.
And then that's the thing. You're kicking the can down the road saying, oh, the next coach, he'll develop him. And then once that coach get him, like, where's his kid's skills at?
Right.
You know, where's his fundamentals? So that's a story for another day.
Well, and there's also the same thing with that is that what is your desire? Do you realize, okay, I got $2 million, $3 million. What is my desire? What do I want to do? Do I want to get better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, and then in another part, but you have an agent, a bunch of these agents, you'd be sitting there, it's like, okay, you want to keep making money off this kid, right? Are you going to get him the people he needs for he can develop too?
Right.
Because if you're not an agent that's going to help this kid develop, it's like, okay, I got him this contract, but what about the next contract?
Perfect example, Giannis's agent. He got him to bulk up. He got him.
If you look at Giannis when he was drafted,
man,
because
I think people don't remember that. They don't take the time to think about Giannis when he first came in.
Right.
Yeah,
he was skinny.
And you look at lanky.
He was a rail. Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at it, you be sitting this like, could you look at it, it's like, how did he get so good?
How did he?
Because he worked his butt off.
Hard work, and his agent helped him.
Yep.
And that's what the real agent is.
Yeah.
So many people dogged him and said like, oh, he's not going to, no, right. It's not going to turn out to be, he can't defend this. He can't defend. And then all of a sudden we seen this man just transform.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before our very eyes. Like was like, yo, wait, that's Giannis. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Especially the people that picked on him when he was a rookie.
Yes, and now he's like, man. Okay.
He just dunked me into the third row and it's like, sir. This doesn't look good.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Well, do I have time or?
I thought you were keeping the time.
Oh, man. So we can wrap?
Yeah.
We
can start wrapping.
All right, guys. So thank you for tuning in to this special 200th episode, guys. Yes. So just to go around the room, how can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Epic Echo Productions, on almost all platforms, except for TikTok, because we're not there anymore, because I know they're going to get pulled too.
And then Raphael, White Label American, of course.
Yes, sir.
Yes, whitelabelamerican.com is the easiest place to find me. All my socials are there. TikTok is something different. That's there. It's AfriGold. Podcast, something I tried during the African Cup of Nations. So, don't be surprised if you always see me talking about African soccer over there. But I'm on all socials. I don't really do stuff on X, but the X or Twitter. I call it Twitter. Mostly on Instagram, I'm active and spottable and Tread.
Yes. D, I know you don't want nobody following you. And for myself, all things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. That's sportsdudegd@gmail.com. You can email me there. And to support the show, Spotify, I got a buy me a coffee button on my website. You can find that there. PayPal, paypal.me, GD, that's sportsdude, and Cash App, $GD, that's sportsdude.